listening to Channel Radio.
Welcome to the Business Network Show with experienced networkers and business owners, Jill Russell and Linda Cloak.
What's up first? That might work. It's because I'm being watched. You know, when you're being watched doing something, make sure you're nervous and you forget to turn the mics up. So you are here with Linda Cloak and Jill Russell, giggling like little schoolgirls. I've actually got headphones on that feel like somebody having them on before me had an absolutely huge head. Definitely bigger than mine. but our guests today are the lovely Christine and Nikki from Blossoming Connections. So hello, girls.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. And my co-host, of course, is the lovely Jill Russell.
Good afternoon.
Hello. So we've been here in a meeting since 12 o'clock. So this is going to be, I suppose, a little bit of light relief today. So have you had a good week, Jill?
I've had a very good week. I've done things that I've never done before.
Oh.
And they've been very good for my soul.
Oh, go on then.
Well,
share.
I spent the day on Monday in a forest near Ashford. And I did axe throwing, archery and shooting. My favourite was shooting, and the chef who organised it cooked us beautiful venison salad out in the open with some lovely people. And it wasn't a networking event, but then everything is networking when you're talking to another human being. And heard lots of great stories, and it was really nice. I can't move now, can't even lift a coffee cup up though, but that's fine.
So it's a team building thing, was it?
No, it was just as you know, I'm a firm believer in supporting hospitality, so I'm going to give a shout out to Bar 8 in Herne Bay, and the lovely Elena and Jeff organised it for some of their clients. We went in a minibus and we had the day out, but the forest experience was amazing, and the couple who own the forest offer these activities to schools, and they go out there and the kids can stay the night, and it was just amazing to be in nature and to relax. Was fantastic.
Oh, that's really lovely. Oh, so this is the first time you've met the girls, Christine and Nikki.
Yes, hello girls.
Oh, hello.
So the girls have been running this business for how long now?
2 years.
Oh. Longer.
Yeah. Longer.
3 years maybe. And you are somatic trauma-informed therapists and coaches. Please explain the word somatic to me.
Somatic is working with the body, so we work with people to get them to understand their inner system and what's going on, and we all have our own nervous system, we're all human, we all face challenges, but it's supporting them to understand what's coming up for them, their trauma responses, what state they're showing up in, if that's fight, flight, freeze, which can impact you in so many areas of life. Mm.
Do you know what you are? I know I'm flight.
I often show up in fight flight. But I do a lot of this work that we do with our clients. We walk the talk. So I'm very aware of what's going on in my body. The more work that I do, and I embody that. So it helps me kind of understand and use grounding techniques to help kind of bring myself back down into my ventral vagal, so I'm more calm, engaged, present, and not always in fight flight. There's a lot of work. Do you know what? We have to do this all the time because we're human. But I don't show up in fight flight as much.
Do you find it's different areas? Because I would say in relationships on flight, in work on fight.
Right, okay.
So it must depend on maybe what is going on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What experiences, triggers, challenges you face. I go the other way. If I'm overwhelmed or too much, I shut down.
Right, so for instance.
What does shut down look like for you? For me personally, so I would retract from conversations. I'd want to sleep more. I want to shut off from the world, really. So, but there's different states of shutdown in freeze, because you could go to one end of the spectrum would be more like depression, where you can't physically get up and move. But there's other, I suppose, a scale of that where I personally never had depression, experienced depression before, so I wouldn't be in that state where I can't shower, can't eat or anything like that.
Okay.
But I know my body's feeling overwhelmed, so then I would go into more of a I need to
Stop.
That's really interesting because we're always open and honest on this show, and we're happy to talk about our own experiences because I think it really does help other people understand. And I said this to Linda a few months ago. I was like, I'd gone like full throttle on something within my business, and then all of a sudden I just froze. I hadn't used the word freeze, but now you've said it, I froze. And I called it, I'm keeping myself small. So I think that's another way. It's like listening for those phrases, but I'd recognise that in myself. And then it takes some time to go, hold on, what's going on here? Yeah. But people really notice the difference in you. And some people would call it confidence, like lack of confidence. But it wasn't lack of confidence. It was definitely, I love that word, freeze. Yeah, really interesting.
And it's amazing how your body impacts. You know, Jill knows I've had a little spate this week, and I think it's basically so much going on in your life.
Yeah.
And it affects everyone in different ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
And I also think that when you are in that state, for instance, when you that we hear people say, just push through it, it'll be all right, carry on, keep going. And that's all very well, but from a nervous system perspective, if you're going to push through things and carry on and carry on, your body's going to shut down even more because it's there to protect us at the end of the day, right? Yeah. So we have to acknowledge that and know what our body needs to do for us and then take the small steps to be able to do that. Pushing through is not always the answer because it's going to take you more into burnout. Potentially, so recognising.
I wish I'd have known this. I met you two 10 years ago, Myra. We'll go into that, I'm sure, a little bit more.
It is. It's getting to know yourself, and that's what we support people with. So then they can recognise it. They've got the awareness, and then they can be like, right, okay, what's going on? Where am I? What's triggering me? What's going on? So
because I was just saying to you, and I was having a conversation at 7 o'clock this morning with some of my daughters, and I said exactly what you said. If you don't deal with this and take this on, it's going to affect you physically. And we can, you know, I recognise that, and I can see it. And there's little things that go on. You go, oh, I've always got this, or I've always got, oh, I've just got this, I've just got that. So we're not talking about an infection. Yeah, we're not talking about, you know, like having to have antibiotics, but there's things that come up, aren't there, like twinges, headaches, all sorts of things that come up. And the education piece is explaining to people, actually, have you thought that it could be your response to what's going on around you?
If you've got excess trauma, excess cortisol and adrenaline constantly running around your system in your body over time, if you've got that, these chemicals flooding your system constantly, that in itself could lead to, over a period of time, things like illnesses like autoimmune diseases, fibromyalgia, all of them sorts of things. So our body's telling us frequently what's going on. And the trouble is we don't listen to it, or we go and get medication. Not saying there's anything wrong with medication, but we need to be really aware of what our body's telling us. And a lot of us, we're not taught this in school, are we?
Well,
are they taught it in medical school?
I don't know. Perhaps not.
I need to intervene here because I've only met these ladies an hour ago, and I feel like you know my whole life. So I'm going to intervene because you've just said something that I've experienced. So when my body had complete overload for a number of life traumas that happened in a very short space of time, 1 minute I could feel my feet and the next minute I couldn't. And I went to the doctors. They didn't know what to do. And they said, oh, we'll go on MRI, blah, blah, blah. But before I got the MRI, I was in hospital, drove there. Within an hour later, I was paralysed from the waist down, and it was eventually we got the answer, autoimmune disease called transverse myelitis, which basically means wherever in your spinal cord the body has attacked itself, it has given you a lesion. So from the bottom of your neck down to the bottom of your spine, you can get a lesion anywhere there from transverse myelitis, and it affects both sides of the body. So some people have it over a period of time and then it happens. Some people could be stand. I know somebody has stood in the shower once and then it's dropped. Unfortunately, it's a very rare disease. You'll all be pleased to know. And I am now gone through a 10-year process of getting myself back to where I am now, which is much, much more improved. However, I'm sad to say that this affects from babies for other reasons up to adulthood. So it's really important that we listen to our bodies and we educate people. We need to be saying to people when somebody comes to us and saying, I'm not feeling very well, you know, making sure they're looking after everything.
Mm-hmm. Holistically, you know. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry you went through that. Yeah. That's horrible. But sharing it as well.
Well, yeah. This is what, you know, Linda and I are always very open and honest on this show, and we will share our experiences because it's important. Somebody needs to have a voice about these things and your business as well. You know, it's so important because people need to understand that there is help out there. Now, I didn't understand that. All I did was exactly what you said. So I'll give you a few things that happened to me. We had two deaths very close to me. I was mugged. Some other traumas were going on, and that all happened in a very short space of time. I think about 8 to 10 weeks. And then, boom, that was it. Body went, you're not doing this anymore. And it stopped me walking.
Mm. Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was so sudden. It felt sudden to me.
Yeah.
But obviously I knew some of the things that had happened, and I can understand it, to be honest.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how your body is protecting you? Because you can't carry on like that. So it physically stopped you. It stopped you and made you actually take notice.
Take of time. Yeah. And another thing is, you know, sometimes we hear this all the time, and it's definitely happened to me, and especially for those people who are overworking, whether they're self-employed or they're, you know, they're a busy mum or dad, or they've got caring responsibilities. We say, oh, we're really looking forward to our holiday.
Mm.
Yeah. And they go on holiday, and then we say something like, oh, you slowed down now, so your body's going to get you. So they'll have cold or sore throat or come back from holiday actually ill, and then we always blame it on the plane or the boat or where we've been on. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I used to do that. I used to slow down, and straight away I'd get cold, flu, all of that stuff. So
very true. Definitely.
So listeners, just to remind you, we are listening to Nikki and Christine of Blossoming Connections, and they are coaches and in trauma, and they help people and businesses. And we've also got Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy. She's my co-host here. So girls, tell me how this can affect people in the workplace if it's not, you know, found, or people aren't given the opportunity to say about it, because it's the workplace really you're looking to help, isn't it? People in the workplace.
And individuals, because it's humans and individuals that work in the workplace. But I think it's supporting leadership within the workplace to become aware of their employees and what's going on for them. We often find that workplaces, schools and that, they do things for tick box, that they're not fully aware of what's going on. And like we were talking before we was on air, we were saying that as a human, you have life outside of work, and often that comes into work with you. And also, if there's stress going on at work, you're then taking that home, which could impact the relationship with your partner, your children, and yourself overall, mentally, physically, emotionally, and your overall well-being. So it's really important to bring this, because if you think, what is it, out of our lifetime, we spend, the higher percentage, it's 70% working. So it's important that employees and workplaces are equipped to understand what might be going on for an employee and become trauma-informed.
How would you, I mean, say I was employing 25 people and... Would you have an HR person then? I don't know.
I would hope so, yeah.
So how big would you have to be? Well, sort of how small would you be before you have a HR person is what I'm thinking.
I think that depends. I think that's up to the individual company at that stage.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's very much. But perhaps in the past, HR would have dealt with this type of thing, but not brought somebody in. I mean, this is down to budgets. Who's got the budget to make the decision?
No, I'm thinking they would have called Chrissy and Nikki in, the HR people.
Potentially. When we've reached out to companies, we have connected with HR. I think a lot of workplaces have like wellbeing leads and that as well. So we've been told a few different kind of professionals, but whether that's all in all companies.
And we've got a lot of, you've got a lot of Synergy members as well that are in the HR field that are also fractional HR people that will go in and, you know, do some HR for, you know, as people are growing. Mm, yeah. So is that something that, you know, what does that actually look like? If a company brings you in, what sort of services can you offer? Are you there for a period of time? Do you do a workshop? What does it look like?
Overall, we could do workshops, which is more education around what's going on for potential employees and leadership. Let's not take leadership out of this as well, because they go through their own stuff, don't they, as well? Mm. So they've got to be aware themselves so they can support their leaders. But also we can bring in coaching along the way. It might be that there's significant things going on challenges for certain members of the team, whether that's leadership team or whether that's just the employees. So we could come in and do some coaching around that, find out what's going on for the employees or leadership, and just see what the overall environment and culture of the employees and the leadership team. What is a culture like? We all know that toxicity doesn't breed a happy workplace. So how are people being managed? What's going on? So going in and just having a look and seeing how the company run as well, and what's going on from a psychological and physiological perspective in place of the whole environment.
So much has changed, I think, in more recent years. I mean, you know, if you think that now, even in BNI, they're training people to be mental health coaches, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, in each chapter. And you'll be finding that a lot of different businesses have got a mental health representative, and they've had mental health first aid training.
So we offer that as well. We offer mental health first aid and leadership as well, but we do it from a somatic, so the body experience as well. And the mental health leads are really good, but obviously then they're going to signpost. They're there to see whether someone is potentially suffering, if you like, or going through the challenges. So they're there to help and support that person, but then they would have to then refer out to somebody,
to a professional,
because they couldn't then deal with, if you like, the coaching or the therapeutic intervention that person or them people need.
And I would hope that the mental health coach also had access to professional services, because you are taking on somebody else's potential trauma.
Yeah,
you're listening,
absolutely.
And you've, as you say, so there's that whole spider framework there, really, of you know, one thing moving to another, having all of that in place. And you know, a lot of companies can't afford to have everything in place, but I think having this knowledge and starting to understand what you can offer and the options out there for them, because you know, there's that old saying, it's just come into my head, you know, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing in business,
yeah,
isn't
employees,
it? You know, if your employees are happy, they feel supported, it costs so much to employ somebody. And recently, I know when I've been out networking and talking to business owners, they're saying, I had one the other day saying, I can't get anybody to stay. And we looked at all of their processes and procedures, their onboarding, everything was really, really good. But actually, when you went really down, why did they do that? Why? It was nothing to do with what was happening in the company. It was to do with what was happening in their outside lives and what was happening, and they couldn't cope anymore. Now, we can't say for certain giving them extra help would have made them stay. They still might have gone, but they might then have been in the position to be able to come back when they were better. So honestly, it's open a can of worms, isn't it?
And people that support people that are going through challenges, trauma, experiences, then you could, especially if you're an empath as well, you can get something called vicarious trauma. You're taking it on, it's like secondary trauma, isn't it? That leads to burnout, things like you're seeping and taking on other people's emotions and all of their stuff that they're going through. And that's something that we find in school. So if a company, an organisation, whatever industry is, are supporting people through mental health, then they're going to need support. So we can also support the people that are supporting them, if you like.
Yeah.
Coaching, supervision, whatever you want to call it. But there's so many people that have got now the job role of supporting, like a mental health first aid or something like that. Well, what support do they get then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting.
Yeah.
It's again, not all, but a lot of it is tick pockets exercise,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you must come across that a lot.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think as well, is that you talk about cost, but what's the cost of having a non-productive employee who can't concentrate because of their, you know, mindset, because of trauma they've maybe experienced at home, you know, a loss in the family, you know, something going on with, you know, the marriage, a relationship, all those things impact on work. And if they're coming into work and not able to talk about it to anyone, it's going to impact on their concentration and therefore their productivity, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's difficult cost to balance out, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, you were saying that you're working both in the private sector and for schools, which I'm sure we're going to come on to later, because, you know, that there's a whole breadth there, isn't there, of differences that go on. Where are you based?
Kent.
You're based in Kent.
Kent. And then we go into, like, London for, like, workplaces and that as well, and across Kent, so...
And where do you currently, so the schools that you're working with, I'm not asking you to give out names, but are they Kent-based too?
For me, I'm in Essex, with the schools that I liaise with for my therapy work. We've reached out to a lot of schools across Kent, must have been over like 250 schools. But we know from our experience in our own therapy business that budgets have been cut back in schools as well.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was one of the things. Oh, excuse me. That was one of the things that the couple that were running the retreats for the children I was speaking about, they were saying, obviously it's August now, so things are not there, but budgets are cut, and these sorts of things, because their mental health in a different way, but budgets are cut, and this is one of the first things that gets cut. And all of the adults there was like, oh my goodness. Because we could feel so calm there. We all felt it. And why are we doing this? It's the wrong way around. I'm sure you would support us with that.
Absolutely.
What do you think of the book, The Body Takes Score?
The Body Keeps Score.
One of our favourite... I'm speaking for both of us. One of our favourite books. And I think that encompasses everything that our therapy business separately and Blossoming Connections together. And that's the whole point of Blossoming Connections come together, because our own therapy businesses brought us together and we wanted to reach more people, and we had a passion for helping people. You don't have to have the life you've got if you don't want it. And we're not saying it's an easy road. We're not saying it's you're doing your own work. Like Christine said, we're doing it all the time. It can be tough at times, but the reward on the other side does create more resilience. And we've had knockbacks, and I've recently lost my mum previously, thank you, in December, and with a battle of cancer, and it was horrible, it was horrific and really traumatic, and I'm still in the grieving process. However, I have managed, through resilience and the work I've done on myself, to be able to, I suppose, process that a lot easier, maybe is the wrong word, but I would have been on the floor and I would not have been able to work. That would have been me done before, and my nervous system would have shut down completely.
Yeah.
But the amount of work that we constantly do on ourselves, I've definitely, like Christina said, building resilience, and know nothing is ever going to be perfect, and we're constantly learning, evolving. But the whole point of doing the nervous system work is to increase your nervous system capacity, so when you are faced with a challenge, you're able to process it and to work through it and to be able to manage it maybe a little bit more easier, and if it's 2% easier than what you did previously. And that's the whole point of doing the work on yourself.
So do you find that you work a lot with I've just got to remind the listeners who we're speaking to. So we're speaking to Nikki and Christine of Blossoming Connections, and my co-host today is Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy. So do you find that when you're working with other people that you have to protect yourself in some way? Or do you find that when you're working with other therapists, I mean, I'm working with someone at the moment, Tracy King, she does massage, and I can't believe the things that are coming out from me, you know, and how much better I'm feeling through having that, because all the therapists sort of come together and work together, don't they? And having massage, how does something like that tie in with what's your other therapy things that you both do? Christine, what do you do?
So we're playing creative arts therapists working in schools. So it's allowing children, young people and adults. Adults can access this kind of therapy as well. But it's being able to explore your unconscious through using different mediums. So in particular, we use sand a lot in our therapy. So it's allowing clients to process what's going on for them by using the mediums, because sometimes people can't find words to express what's going on for them. So they're able to build that therapeutic rapport with us as therapists and then work through that process because they built up that trust. So that's kind of how we work. But I think going back to what we were saying somatically and that work, because there is so many different modalities and therapies out there. And we're also brain spotting practitioners. So it's working because we're so disconnected to our body. We can move from, when we talk about the nervous system, that is what's connected from the back of our neck, like all the way down to your body. And then it operates. So, but we can quickly move from our body to our mind and forget. And so we're often disconnected, so we can help clients process trauma using brain spotting. But yes, there's so many different modalities, but I think that there's some that complement each other. And I think maybe you've got some stuck, like, experiences that you're carrying. You're very busy, aren't you, Linda, with your different events and networking events and that you're... We tense up, so we're tired. I have massage, but I have sports massage for my running, so it's a little bit different. But there's so many different ones, and I think you don't realise knots, don't they, that you might have on your shoulder. I get a lot of tension around my neck and shoulders and stuff like that. So I think that where we do somatically hold a lot in our body, that's where the tension parts are, and I think people that are trained in that particular therapy modality are able to pick up on that. It's the same as like the chakras, isn't it, and your energy, clearing your energy and stuff.
Well, yesterday, because of what I'm going through at the moment, she actually did some Reiki.
Yes, that's another one as well, and I think that helps, doesn't it? That's with the chakras, clearing energy.
We also do hypnotherapy and we do meditations as well. So again, it's relaxing the body, letting the body, and remember, if your body's not used to relaxing, some people can find meditations and hypnotherapy and brain spotting really difficult.
I've never heard of brain spotting.
What is it?
It's more like it's a form of EMDR with the eye movement. So you're helping, it's connected with your eyes. Okay. So you're finding a focus spot and you're connecting that with your eyes and your body. So it's really powerful as a way to release things, release the sensations, the trauma, whatever you're going through, the challenges in your body. And you normally focus on one thing and you just see where your body takes you and your mind takes you. So you're focusing on the feelings, the sensations in your body and what's coming up. It releases a lot of people to get upset. There can be anger. There can be lots of things that come up as well.
Mm. It's so good to hear about these things because, you know, we all do networking, hopefully. Lots of people that are listening are doing networking. Mm. But depending on what you choose and how you choose to network, sometimes you don't get into these deeper conversations. Mm-hmm. I know with Synergy, we're very, very fortunate that we can have 3 minutes and we can hear, and that goes deeper. And this is why I know Linda and I love this format of show, because we really get to understand, and guests together get to understand what is going on. And, you know, there's so much that you do. We're only, like, touching the surface of it at the moment, and I know we will go deeper into that. But you know, brain spotting, like you just say it, like, because you know it, but we have to understand what it is. And all of that, it feels like you've got this immense toolbox in front of you that you could have a client, I'm assuming on a one-to-one basis as well, not just workshops, that you can then go, right, I think this would be right for you. Let's try it.
Absolutely.
Let's see how you go. yeah, that toolbox of what you've learnt over the years and your experience. Yeah. Fascinating.
I think for me as well, in particular, we had just done phase one and then we was going on to phase two, and in between that time I lost my granddad and I found him. I had to do CPR and I put myself forward as a participant when we done phase two, and that helped me release a lot of the tension. And he was like bringing it back, so when you're doing CPR you're in this position, and I had a lot of pain and tension that I was holding on to, so it allowed me to cry, release that, and that pain that I was holding on to I let go. Yeah, I still carried on grieving. I mean, this was before my granddad's funeral, and that still kind of continued, but it's just amazing. And sometimes you just don't realize like the tension that we have and the reasons why that might be predominant at that particular time in our life and what's gone on.
Tracy actually said, so I've been getting quite a bad pain just under my elbow, and she said that the left side of the body is the female side of the body. Did you know that, Jim?
No.
I've lost my mum, and that came as mum was ill and started getting worse, and then when she died it's just been, you know, really bad, which was why when I saw Tracy in the first place. So I had acupuncture in there, I'd seen, you know, an osteopath, and nothing seemed to get rid of the pain. So it's taken over 6 weeks, and, you know, it's sorted now. But it's amazing how it was just there constantly. It was weird as well, because I could still pick things up, and then suddenly it would just start hurting me, and it's like, where's that come from? You know, I've done nothing.
I remember Linda, you know, I think we were speaking about it, and I said to you, I bet that's something to do with losing your mum. You're holding something, and you was going, oh, but it's my elbow. Maybe I've knocked it, and I was like,
Yeah, that's what she said. So yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? You knew, Jill.
Well, because I've been through. I'm realizing now, actually, what caused that, and my neurologist. Because it's a neuro condition, my neurologist said when they heard what they went through, right, what has caused this? Because they still don't know all of the causes of this, and that is one of them. That burnout, burnout. Your body's gone. Nope,
no more. I went for a very, very stressful situation, and quite a long time ago, and I ended up getting breast cancer, and I solely put it down to that stressful situation. In fact, I should go back and see that boyfriend and smack him in the mouth, really. But, you know, I mean, I solely put it down to that. And that's, you know, I think a lot of people don't realise where that comes from. But it's, yeah, amazing. And hypnotism as well. I mean, I've twice been to a hypnotist, and both times it's relieved the situation that I was in. So it's really powerful. Three different hypnotists. Yeah. And, you know, one of them just stopped me crying, because every time I spoke, anyone said, and of course you get a lot of people speaking about that now.
Yeah.
You hear it on the radio all the time, you know, and I'm like, I'm trying to block it out, but that's not the way around it. You know, you've just got to let it flow through you, haven't you?
Yeah.
So it was when I went to him, and suddenly I wasn't crying anymore. So
what's nice about what seems the business that you've created, Blossoming Connections, is that this toolbox, in fact, that you're saying that you have got all these modalities that you can access, and people working through maybe will be moving from one to another, depending whether it's working, or perhaps it is working and now they're ready for another stage to do something else. And I think it is that we really need to take a look at ourselves and prioritise our self-care. It is that we need our oxygen mask on first before we can help anybody else. And, I did go through that, but fortunately, in a way, I'm pleased that that's happened, because I know I meet lots of people now that I'll go to, I think you're overworking, or, you know, and like, you don't want to end up like me. Yeah. You know, it's true. So you try and help people by going, this stuff really does happen.
It does, and it's important, like you say, but it's also, you don't really want it to get to that point, really, either. And we run wellbeing clubs in the community, which is giving people basic tools and strategies that they can help in everyday life. And the one that we're working on at the moment is anxiety and stress. But then it gives that, it gives them people that might not be kind of aware of it, that starting point that they're like, actually, I want to do a little bit more deeper about this. I want to explore what parts are showing up for me, because we do a lot of parts work, somatic, and getting to know what's going on for them. So we can kind of do that, but it might be a bit like, oh, someone might be, and that might be a starting point for them, in coming to a wellbeing club.
Yeah. And I think all of those words that we're talking about, like wellbeing, self-care, can mean very different things to different people. So I think it's having that, explaining the language, what that actually, what does that actually mean? You know, because we're not just talking about business people here who are, if they're networking, they're more likely to come across these terms because they'll be hearing, you know, therapist stories and things like that. But when you then go back and explain it to somebody who you want to maybe refer, it's having that knowledge. And I'd really like at some point in this show today to perhaps ask you to run through what an initial consultation looks like for somebody, because I think that can really maybe help somebody come forward. We was talking about this before the show about how some people find it that they may want to do it, but then they procrastinate and something stops them doing it. So if we could explore what happens, you know, when somebody comes to a one-to-one, how do they get hold of you? What do you actually do? I think that would be really, really handy.
I think a lot of people, you know, would look at it and say, well, I'm not burnt out. I wouldn't say I'm burnt out. But, you know, sometimes it's recognising the signs, isn't it?
Body keeps a score.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is. And we do a lot of group work. And I think sometimes, like, going back to the wellbeing clubs, that's not for people that's in crisis. It's also not therapy, and it's not replacing therapy. But it's about bringing people together, bringing the community, them connections. Because sometimes you can feel so isolated, can't you? And you think that you're on your... You're only one, like, you're on your own, you feel lonely. And it's about bringing people together, and actually, like, they'll resonate because they all feel the same way in some way. So that's why they're good. And we do a lot of group work. So if people like to be part of something with other people in similar situations, and they can share their experiences. And I think that that's a massive lesson learned, for people to go away and think, actually, I'm not the only one, and and maybe make new connections with people that are in similar situations.
And so when do you do that? Where?
The wellbeing club that we're running one at the moment in Ebbsfleet.
Weldon Heart.
Yeah, Weldon Heart. So that's the one that we're running at the moment. That's on Monday at the moment, but in September we're going to change it to a Thursday because the cafe, and that's open on a Thursday, so it'll be nicer.
The Blue Bean Cafe. The Blue Bean Cafe.
But this is Weldon Heart.
Okay.
It's a different...
That's really important to say. And can I just go back, because you all mentioned the body keeps score. So that's the first time I've heard of that book. What is that, a self-help book, or is that a story, you know, is that a tell us what it is.
I mean, I've read it. I wouldn't say it's a self-help. It just sort of explains.
There's a lot of case studies, isn't there?
There is,
a lot of education around how, what we're all talking about, how the body holds on to something. It's not just your mind. And that's why we work from the bottom up. A lot of people think that you get your thoughts coming first. So I'm anxious, I can't do this. But it isn't. Your body's always responding before your mind catch up and before you get the thought, but we're always taught the other way around. So we go from a top down approach, where our work somatically, the body keeps a score, as it points out. We work from the bottom up approach. We always look at the nervous system and body.
I mean, when you think about the amount of self-employed people that we deal with, you know, they're in stressful situations, just trying to make sure that they get enough customers, and, you know, I mean, that's pretty stressful. And, you know, all the other things that go with it, they've got to be doing. You go into a job and you have one job, generally, but when you're self-employed, you've got all of those jobs. You're the marketing department, the sales department, the accounts department, the, you know, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? You know, your operations, and it's everything all rolled into one.
It's not for the faint-hearted, is it, running your own business?
No. what I've tried to do with Synergy, which I've never done before, is bring in people to help. So, you know, I've got different people helping with different parts of just little bits, but it's amazing how those little bits have really helped. I mean, I think, I mean, I'm a sort of a creative bookkeeper. I like to say. And now I've got a proper one. But it's really helped me because it's one thing I haven't got to think about, which makes a massive difference.
And I think that splitting, you know, not doing everything is sometimes when you start out in business, you think you have to do everything. But actually, you need to offload the things that you're not an expert in. Let somebody who's an expert in do that, that you get on with what you're good at. And I say this to the communities that and the business people that I work with. You know, you need to do that. You need to be your expert, do what you're doing, because you're bringing more money, more clients like that. But for everybody who starts a business, you're in sales. Mm. I'm sorry, you're in sales. Mm-hmm. You bring your marketing team on, yeah, then you can start relinquishing that a little bit. But
a lot of people want to relinquish the sales first.
Yeah.
You know, because they go into business... And it's the sales they really aren't comfortable with and the sales they don't want to do. They go into it because they love what they're doing, but they don't like the sales side of it.
Exactly us.
Yeah, right. Well, that's one of the things that I help my clients with is putting that strategy in place so that they are not having to do all of the things that they don't want to. And they might not be able to do them all at once because budget is budget. You've got to bring, you know, it's that... What do I do next? What do I need to do next? But if you've got a good strategy in place and a timeline that you can work to, you can work through those things while you are keeping that, I like to say, well, I'm going to use the word score because we've been speaking about score, but while you're looking at that, so it's not set in stone. This is your plan. This is your strategic plan of where you're going to get to, how you're going to get to it, what you need to do. And by breaking it down like that, and you can tick those things off the list, you're feeling really, really good about that. And then you can see, okay, I've got this money coming in. This is what I expected. Where am I going to spend it? Well, I see a lot of business owners just spend without really thinking about where that's going. Mm. Yeah. And I think there is a danger of that when you're networking because the next shiny thing comes along. Yeah. You go, oh, I need that. Yeah. I need that. And no, or, follow the plan.
And also you want to help other people, don't you?
Yeah, of course so you do. You want to refer.
We have that offer. We have that offer.
Oh, I've had the outside of my house painted. I've had a new roof. Through networking, we bought two businesses. That was a bit. But see, I'm one of these people. If I'll say yes, I'll get the feeling. And those two businesses were very, very good. Poor husband's always a little bit shocked when I come home from networking.
What's next?
Shredded it.
Baby grand on his credit card. Yeah, that's a whole other story. But yeah,
it's funny. You've led straight into another thing that I want to speak about. So if I'm just say that we are speaking to Nikki and Christine of Flossman Connections, and Jill Russell was just reminding me that we're both very similar people. So Jill is from the Jill Russell Consultancy, and in my notes here it says about the fawn response. Mm. Now, Jill and I are people pleasers.
Yeah.
We're yes people, both of us.
Me too.
Do you remember that time when we had that analysis with Anita? And it was my L and us two.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, you two are just yes people. And L came out on top and she was like 16 or something. Yeah. And Anita said, well, L's this and L's that. And Linda and Jill, well, you're just yes people.
we are people pleasers. We are people pleasers. And I don't think that's anything wrong with that. I think once you understand it, then you sort of take a little bit more control of it. But it's also, we both go with our gut feelings. Mm. And if I want to do something, I will do it. And, you know, I've always said this, I've had an idea, usually in business, and I'm like, right, I'm going to go and do that. And then somebody will say, why are you doing that? Oh, da, 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 da. And I haven't done it because I've listened to them. And that was a stupid mistake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think as well, we need to really, I like to call it taking sovereignty of ourselves. Be our sovereign self. Okay. Absolutely happy to listen to anybody else's views. But I try and push them back. I literally go like that. Yeah. So that there's a distance between them. So I'm not, because I'm an empath. Mm. So I'm not taking on I can listen, but then I need to slow down and not make that snap decision on somebody else's opinion.
Mm. But that would be something that we would work with as well. That goes into what Christine says when we work with parts, because it's the internal family systems that we do as part of our work. So we all have part. There's our core self, which you explained as being you're not listening to everyone, you're trusting your gut, you're in your own embodied self-leadership role. But then what happens is, as the parts come in, so people pleaser is one of the parts that is quite a strong part for me. So you would come in with a people pleaser part would come in, and what that does, all these parts that come in are there to protect you, because what they're trying to do is protect you from an experience or something that's happened in the past. So therefore, you're going to people please to get your needs met in pleasing that other person, for instance. And there's so many different parts of this that come up. So you saying that you're in your embodied self, if you like, and you're not listening to what everyone else is saying, and you're listening to your own gut, is great, because then you're managing that people pleasing part. In the past, I've got better at it, but I in the past would be like, yes, I'll do it, I'll help you out, I'll do everything. But there's a need in me to be liked, to be needed, to be wanted, and I've recognised that and done a lot of work on myself around that. And we have so many people-pleasing parts, but so many parts, don't we?
Yeah.
And internal family systems, and that's what we work with a lot.
So what are the other parts? That's what I was interested in, because I know that we are. You've got the fawn response, and it's a survival mechanism to stay safe, and, you know. So what other ones are there?
So that is basically the flight, freeze, fawn are all of your nervous system responses.
Okay.
So the IFS, if you like, and internal family systems, which is parts thing, is part of one of the modalities that we use in our work. So there's loads. It could be an overeating part, it could be an overspender part, it could be a jealousy part, it could be an anger part, it could be a social media part, it could be OCD, addictions, it could
caretaker, anxiety.
Yeah. It could be so many. There's so many parts that encompass parts of who we are, that they're there to protect us. They're there because they've jumped in, because they're distracting you from a core wound of maybe not feeling good enough or unlovable or not worthy, something that's based in your own past.
Mm.
Normally come from childhood or growing up or experiences, trauma, challenges and all of that.
Mm. It's amazing. It's fascinating. Oh,
yeah, there's so much. There's so much to it. I mean, this is why we would say, isn't it? Like, you need 2 hours because, your business is so in depth, and so there's so much, and we're only just scratching the surface. Mm. You know, it's like every one of us.
I'm just going to read through now. I'm going to stop the conversation here and just read through, because I asked members if they would like a shout out. So Chris Henry, who is Chris Henry Photography, has said, "Me please." He's got a limited time photo opportunity coming up in August. Sneak peeks on LinkedIn. So go in and find Chris Henry on LinkedIn. You know, fantastic portrait photography, and he's got a lovely new studio down in Folkestone. Have you been down there, Jill?
No, I haven't yet.
Yeah, really lovely studio down in Folkestone. So, you know, go down and see him. Well worth it. His portrait photographs are lovely. Nick Hinge just said, "Yes, please, tar." Well, yes, Nick, luckily I know what you do. That's lucky, isn't it? So Nick runs a business called iTrust, and iTrust is it's just amazing. I was speaking to a big company about it the other day, because what it is it helps your staff report in, and they can report in without being...
Anonymous?
Oh, anonymous, thank you. They can report in anonymously when they're not happy with something that's going on in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that makes it really good is because if they then later come back, which happened to a big company in Kent, someone came back and she said, this happened, and iTrust had been in place for a year, and the judge went, well, have you, you know, re- did you report it? She was like, no. They were like, why not? And, you know, she couldn't come up with a good reason. And basically, she didn't have a leg to stand on. So, you know, it's really good from that perspective, very protective. But we are members of iTrust in Synergy, and it's really good because it gives our members an opportunity to give feedback to us anonymously.
Yeah.
So it's really good. And it also gives them the opportunity to give feedback about the venue, which is really good for us as well. So Julie Hall.
Yes.
Who's been a guest on Jill's show. She's from A1VA, and she's helping
people speak.
Busy business owners free up their time to fuel their growth by taking care of their day-to-day admin. So Julie and I, I'm sure we'll need a one-to-one very soon. John Kelly, making it simple for you to write your will, understand appropriate use of trusts and grant, lasting powers of attorney. So that's fantastic. I hope all of you people are listening to the show today. Me, please. Suma Goofy, I need one customer signed up before Friday to reach a promotion. Right, Sue is a utility warehouse partner, and she is in our SidCup group.
We know Sue.
Yeah, she's absolutely lovely. She's just explains the services provided by the utility warehouse, and it's absolutely brilliant. So I'm looking at maybe doing my insurance with them, so I'll have a word with you, Sue. Neil Emerton has said, yes, please, A to B Technology in Ashford, the telecoms company that does something quite unusual in their industry. They actually answer the phone. Yay! they help businesses with phone systems, VoIP, broadband, mobiles and support, but their real strength is keeping things simple, reliable and human. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Two more to go. So Steph Nicholson, our bookkeeper, she said, yes, please. Books and Balance are your outsourced finance team, helping ambitious business owners gain financial clarity and confidence with expert bookkeeping, payroll and finance support. And then Lindsay Smith of PSM Recruitment, dealing with all permanent recruitment in Kent, helping people save time and money on finding the right person for their company and helping people find the right role for them. So she said, thank you very much. And thank you to all of you for responding. It's great to know that you are all listening to the show today. And you'll be pleased to know that I have sort of won an award. So I'm the most listened to show. And yay. I'm like, yay. So I'm not going to say that anymore, I promise.
Don't believe her.
Apparently I've taken someone off the top, pipped them at the post, and they're not going to be very happy about it, but just watch this space. Yeah, we're going to be wicked. So I'm going to play a few adverts for you, and then we're going to have music. And I think the one that's really appropriate is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor, because let's face it, that's actually made a chill go down my spine, because life sometimes is just about bloody surviving. So, you know, and I'm one of them. So, and I'm sure the girls in here all are too. So, carry on listening, and we'll play some adverts, and the mic's going off, but we will be back after the break.
OMG, missed your favourite show? Don't worry, we've got it covered. Go to Channel Radio's Listen Again. Problem solved.
Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
Raise your hand if your business needs to reach a wider audience. Well, we've got exciting news for you. One-to-one ads are committed to helping local businesses like yours grow and thrive. With our extensive reach and high volume of digital engagement, we offer an incredible opportunity to promote your products and services to thousands of potential customers by creating compelling radio advertisements that capture the essence of your brand, engage listeners, and inspire action. One-to-one ads offer a bespoke advertising package for a fraction of the cost others have quoted you. Whether you're a small startup or an established enterprise, let us get you results. Join our growing list of satisfied advertisers now. Call 01217 282 286 or email info@onetoneads.me.
Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers, security worries, lost files. Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely and stress-free. Call 0179 5342362 now and get your IT sorted.
Music and talk.
Right, okay, everyone. Jill has got a question for our lovely ladies. So we're listening to Nikki and Christine from Blossoming Connections and Jill Russell from the Jill Russell Consultancy. And of course, I am actually on the show, and my name is Linda Cloak from Synergy Networking Events. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello, Linda. It's so lovely to meet you.
Go on, Jill.
Linda Cloak. So, what I'd really think would be really useful is, so if there's people out there that are listening and they're thinking, oh, I'd like to know a little bit more about this, or I know somebody who would maybe benefit from this. If they were coming to you, they're often very nervous and worried about what that looks like. So talk us through, somebody rings up, sends you an email, links with you on social media and says, I'd like to know more. What does that, or I want to book in. Talk us through the whole process of how that's handled and what a first session looks like. That would be really useful, I think.
So we would, if they reached out to us, we would have a, maybe a consultation via Zoom or something like that. and we would send them. So what are they looking for? Just so they can see our faces, they get to know who we are and what we do. We can explain what we do on the Zoom or over Teams or whatever. We would then send them an onboarding form with questions about, again, what they're looking for. It goes into more
depth, detail.
Yeah, more depth. And what the challenges are they've been facing. So it is quite an in-depth onboarding form, but pretty straightforward. It's some are drop-down arrows, some are yes or no, some are explain more, just so we get a background information on that. And then we can either do it in person, depending on what they're looking for, or we can do it online. A lot of our work does go online. When we do our VIP days, they are more an experience of a whole day, which we would do in person normally. So if we were doing coaching or working with someone, we would probably do it more online, but that doesn't mean that we can't do it in person.
Should it need me? Some people are saying, I've never been on Zoom, I've never been on Teams, but I'm assuming as well that you could have a telephone conversation
Absolutely.
With them to just see and get that, because sometimes it can be a little bit worrying to do that. So
sometimes it's nice to speak to the person. We find sometimes it's nice that our clients like to see us first. Yes, they might have seen a photo of us on social media and things like that, but actually just to get an idea of how we are and what we sound like and things like that. So either online or a telephone call, whatever's easiest for them.
So I know that over my years of talking to people and business owners and other people, one of the questions that comes up is, okay, so I'm going to take an hour out of my day. I may be at work. I may be doing this at lunchtime. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might be happening out. I might be on my phone doing this, sitting in the car, having my phone. Am I going to go back in crying? Am I going to feel rough afterwards? Should somebody book a 1 hour when they're on their lunch hour? Or do they need a little bit more time to process that particular session? Because I think some people don't think about that.
Yeah, that is true. I think it depends on what they're coming for. What are they seeking? Therapy or coaching, or what is it that they're looking for? What is it they need? And that's why we do the kind of consultation before, like Nikki said, and fill out the get them to fill out the onboarding form, because it gives us an idea and we can pinpoint there and say, like, this might be more suited for you, because sometimes like a one-off wouldn't necessarily make a difference. However, we do offer a one-off one-to-one embodied self mapping. So that's where we would help them, 90-minute coaching session where we would guide them through getting to know their inner system, like we was talking about before, what triggers are going on, what they can do to help them move from their states down to and building on that capacity. So that's always a good kind of starting point if people, because then that can help them recognise more that's going on, and then we'd give them some somatic exercises that they can practice just to help them kind of regulate and bring themselves down a little bit in their nervous system.
So that's quite a nice thing for somebody that maybe is not sure what's going on, but can do that. And what's the price of that? That's done online, I'm assuming, and what's the price of that?
That's $97.
So $97 for 90 minutes.
Yes.
That's extremely good value.
Yeah.
That's extremely good value.
Yeah.
But then going on from there, if somebody needed most probably a course, is it like, I'm going to say 6 weeks, because everything seems to be 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Is that a 6 week?
Ours is eight.
Actually, we've gone too long.
Yeah. Oh, you've gone two more. So 8 weeks.
Yeah. We do 8 weeks, and then we do a 12 month one as well.
When somebody needs to do that. So I'm guessing that once you know with the form and that you've spoken to the person, then you can say to them, most probably, no, I don't think it's good if you do it in your lunch hour and then you're going back. You're really going to look after them all the way through.
Always checking in with their body. We would never leave someone open, if you like, to experiencing something that's triggered them or upset them, and then just leave them to go back out into the world. So we'd always be regulating them back. So doing some somatic grounding techniques, what they can see and hear and all them things, so they feel safe again in their body and they're present.
Is that like the 5-4-3-2-1
things? Yeah. And there's a lot more other things that we can do as well. But things like that, so we're not leaving them vulnerable.
Can I ask you to explain? I know in my terms what the 5-4-3-2-1 is, but, you know, now we've said it, I think we should explain that because it is a very nice technique to do. So,
five senses, basically. So looking about five things that you can see, four things that you can hear, three things that you can touch or feel, two things that you can
smell
and then taste, one thing that you can taste.
Yeah, I've used this technique a lot because after I got mugged and still have traumatic PTSD, but that 5-4-3-2-1, but I learned that you must only do the taste at the end, because I was like, if you start off with five things you can taste, you're going to be overeating. This is where Jill's like, I remember I used to carry the little card around to remind me what to do, and then I got cocky and I thought, oh, I just know this. And when I remember sitting on the train once going, I can't taste anything. So, yeah, if you're listening today, it's really powerful.
And the idea of it is it brings you back to the present moment.
Yeah.
So it grounds your body back to get as much in your green, if you like, your embodied self-leadership, as much as you can, instead of being vulnerable, wide open, being in that traumatic state, if you like, in your flight and flight or freeze.
How would someone recognise when they are in that state? You know, how do they recognise when they're not genuinely engaged at work? Or is it easy to... I mean, I recognise it because I just go and sit and watch a, you know, criminal movie or something, but... How do you recognize?
I suppose if you was in your yellow, we will say flight and fight then. So we're in a yellow light, we're in flight and fight. It could be that you're having disagreements or arguments with people at work. It could be that your heart's racing. It could be that you're twitching your leg. It could be that you've got a headache. It could be that you have got stomach problems. So there's lots of ways that your body communicates with you to tell you what state that you're in.
Mine's my stomach. Definitely.
And it could be someone that's not communicating. Like if they're in a meeting, they might be the quiet one in the room all the time. They don't feel like they're being heard, seen and acknowledged. And they don't, they're just kind of accepted as the quiet one, but they could have other things going on.
And that happens in school, doesn't it? We see that all the time in school, the good girl or the good boy sitting in the corner doing their work all the time, not saying anything, doing what they're told all the time. But it's really them children as well that sometimes are masking and hiding so much because they don't feel safe enough to be able to express themselves, or they don't actually know what's going on for themselves.
Do schools recognise, you know, some of these things that are going on? I mean, I know they're all receiving different training. It's so different now to when we were children. I mean, you know, my sister, Debs, was a difficult child, definitely. And one of the teachers used to take her back to her house for the weekend. I mean, that would not be allowed now.
No.
But, you know, she used to, because she didn't have any children, she used to say to Mama, it's all right if Debbie comes, you know, spends the weekend with me. Debbie used to love it. She used to do painting with her and reading, and it really, you know, took her on. But that wouldn't be allowed now, you know, for a teacher to take that interest in one pupil.
But like Miss Honey from Matilda.
But it worked. Do you know what, it worked? She came back calmer. She always seemed to come back from there calmer.
That's interesting what you said about the child that sits at the back always doing the good work. And in fact, our youngest daughter, who's now grown, says she's number five, youngest child. And number four son was the naughty one. And she said to me when she was a teenager, why is it that, I think, he'd gone off to, in secondary school, he'd gone off, I don't know, zip wiring and whatever, because he was disruptive. So that got, this year, why is it, I'm always good, I get really good grades, I do everything right, you know, I mean, I don't get to go there. And that is, she often says she doesn't ever felt seen. because of that. And that is true, isn't it? You know, that lots of people and lots of adults make disruptions and drama because they then get the attention, or they've learnt that behaviour to get the attention through the drama. And, you know, there's loads of that. But I think in school, especially, it's one of the things to look out with.
And that is something that is always so telltaling, if you like, with it doesn't matter if it's children or adults, what is the behaviour they're displaying? Mm. So if it is that they're always causing, and I'm going to put in brackets, drama, then why is that? Why is that person always causing an argument? Why does that person need the drama in their life? And I suppose in all the work that we do is we're always curious, because there's an underlying message to everything people do, as the behaviours, what they say, what they do, what their body's telling them. There's something going on behind the scenes, and we're always curious. It's not a judgment. We're just getting to know people and helping people to get to know themselves. But there's always something going on. That's so interesting. We love what we do. It's fascinating.
Well, sometimes the people don't know themselves, do
exactly.
they?
Mm. And that's sad, isn't it? You don't know your internal seat. You don't know yourself. You're so disconnected from your body, because that's what we've been learnt to do.
Yeah, and I think as well that sometimes you may be telling somebody, like a therapist, what you think is the problem.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm doing this, and actually because you're curious, you go back and go, there's other things that you've forgotten, or that you've, we all talk about this, I know, you know, that you've shut out. Mm. Yeah, I've shut that out. Mm. I'm not thinking about that. Yeah. But that's within your body,
yeah,
because it hasn't been dealt with. Mm. So then that's what you're saying.
Nine times out of ten, the person that comes to us for therapy or coaching, the reason why they're coming is not the reason why they're coming. Because there's so much going on behind the surface. Think of an onion with the layers. You're peeling back the layers all of the time. And it's interesting to listen to people's story. And we feel very privileged and... like it's so, like, for us, it's, we feel so passionate about it, and we're very, very feel humbled that people trust us enough to come to us, and listening to people's stories is just amazing.
So you're listening and you're giving them I don't want to use the word advice, because it may be advice, but you're giving them tools to help them cope with that. So are you listening and giving them advice, or are you listening and giving them tools, or is it both of those things?
Listening and reflecting.
Ooh,
getting curious and giving them tools and strategies, not necessarily advice, because actually, who knows, we might be giving them advice that isn't right for them. We're not them, and it's, you have to be very careful giving people advice, because what's right for you might not be right for someone else. Do you agree?
Yeah, and that's why I was like, I stumbled on the word advice, because I thought, no, that's wrong. I know you're not going to do that. Reflection. So you're reflecting back and asking questions, being curious, and then giving them the chance
to talk. With the psychoeducation that comes into it, like what we were talking about, the parts and the somatic and our nervous system.
Yeah, so you're looking at them as a whole body, not just a mind.
Yeah. Do you give them things like, you know, breathing exercises? You said about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah,
I've not heard
breathing,
of that before.
Recordings, meditations. Mm. There's so much that we can do, and every client is different. Every client will need something different, and that's why we've got such a, like you've said before, Jill, we've got this toolbox that then we can think, oh, that might work. And some things work on some people and don't work on others. Yeah. But we are client-led. So we do what we feel that the client needs. They're in control of their own healing journey. We're just walking along the path with them and being, if you like, the therapeutic anchor and that safe person for them. So we're not trying to get them to do what we want them to do, because that's our agenda then. We're not there to fix them. They're there to help themselves, not us.
We help them build their capacity and build their own toolkit of what they can do. Like you think the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can have that. We're so disconnected that we forget about using our senses. Absolutely. To just bring us back in that present moment. Some breathing, just some basic breathing. Again, it's something that we do all the time, but we just automatically do it. And sometimes if you just really connect it can just really, like, I often feel like if I'm demonstrating it with clients or something with children in school, I would do it with them. And I feel like I'm just being released and being brought back down, and I didn't even realise I needed it. So there's so many different things. And when we're working with clients, or even we can tell them as a tool to take away with them, is maybe not necessarily using the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but just kind of like looking around the room and noticing what's there, because it can just bring them back, and they can just remind themselves in that moment, they are safe, they are okay. And it just kind of like, because we're so kind of like off, and then you can't think, you can't process anything, you can't deal with anything. So it's just about kind of, right, okay, what's my next step?
It's funny because a lot of the self-help books that I've read talk about, one of them was just called Now.
Mm.
You know, live in the moment, live in the now. Don't worry about what's happened before. Try not to worry about what's going to happen next, because you don't even know what's going to happen next.
I got a nice one that is called Get Off the Ifs, Buts and Now Bus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get on the if, buts and what if box.
Yeah.
Yeah, bus. Not a box. Don't get on a box. That's dangerous.
The thing is, though, I think about, like, living in the present moment, and it is important, and not a lot of us do it, but if you've had a traumatic experience, you're going to find it really hard to live in that present moment all of the time, aren't you?
Mm.
And your head's going to always be overanalyzing, question things, you've got the different thoughts coming in, etc., etc. So many clients say that they're aware of it, but how do they change it? Mm. Because it's the change that makes the difference. And it's not until you start looking through the work we do, the creative work or the IFS and bringing in parts work, that they can really start to explore what's going on for their system and why these parts and everything are coming in.
Mm. And I think creativity, which takes so many forms, you know, it's one of the reasons why I went on Monday and really gone back to what makes me calm, what can I concentrate on that doesn't let my whole brain go whizzing around.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, with, you know, I've got 5 grown-up children, grandchildren, businesses, husband, all of the stuff that comes in, there's a lot going on.
Mm.
And therefore, sometimes you do need to take that time just to relax your body. And so, you know, some people go running, some people go, you know, I live by the seaside in Herne Bay. I've got a neighbour that goes swimming every day, does the cold water swimming. It is whatever it is. Do you know what, Lynn? I always remember many years ago standing up and doing my 10 minutes at BNI, and somebody said to me afterwards, oh, so what do you do to relax? And I said, oh, I knit and crochet and sew. And they laughed at me because they'd see me as like this person coming in, and they just didn't think that I was that sort of person to do that. So I think when we're networking and when we get the opportunity to have one-to-ones people, I think that's a really lovely thing. What do you do to relax?
Mm-hmm.
What do you enjoy doing? Are you a film buff? Lots of women are watch crime movies. We know that. I mean, the fantastic Dr. Ross Friday does those wonderful shows where we can go to.
Much for me, those.
I absolutely loved them. I had to do a perfect murder.
Should we be worried?
My husband
not
was.
Us.
My husband said, I'm coming with you. I find out how you do. But, you know, that's a really interesting part of our business lives as too. Mm-hmm. What do we actually do? Because with something like what you're doing, it is very much that know, like and trust, isn't it? Mm-hmm. People have got to trust that they're referring you, that is confidential, which I know it is, and that you've got all of those qualifications and able to do it. But knowing like what you're like and what, you know, what goes on in your life, and what it's just part of that getting to know process, isn't it? Now, I'm looking at Linda now, because when we're talking about she just did a shiver when I said cold water swimming.
I did.
But you're going to that other.
I know. And I was with my.
Tell him what you're doing.
Well, I was with my son, actually. We were sat in the garden, and his girlfriend tracks the planes going across the sky. You know, she knows where they're going and everything. And she went, oh, she said, that's very low. I said, that's probably the height I'm going to be jumping out of the plane for We Are Beams.
Mm.
So, obviously, it's with someone else with me. What do they call it? Dual jumping or whatever it is. Anyway, so I'm jumping out of the aeroplane, and I looked up at this great big liner with, I don't know, 300 people in whatever. And I went, oh, you know, that's, yeah, that's probably what I'm... She went, no, it's not, Lynn. I said, why not? She said, well, how high are you jumping from? I said, 14,000 feet. She said, that's 7,500. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. So you was quite happy in your bubble.
I was.
And now you're... And when are you doing this? Tell us.
September the 20th. Yes,
well, I've sponsored you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm still looking for sponsors. I've got to raise £600.
Well, we're gonna get you. I don't know whether I really want to help you, like, because there's part of me that doesn't want you to do it.
I can't get out of it now, Joe. If I don't find the people to sponsor me, I'm gonna have to pay it myself. So I really need to get sponsors.
I felt really... I was like, I really want to support the charity, but you know, that's what people think, isn't it? You know, yeah. But I think it's, yeah, you're going to be absolutely fine, and you're, yeah, you do strange things anyway, don't you?
I know.
I can say is wow.
Yeah, that's what a lot
and
of people
said. What a lovely thing to do. But I think we need to, you know, sponsor you and get you up there. So, and you know, We Are Beams is such a fantastic charity.
How do we sponsor
work
you?
There. Yeah. I've got a QR code actually, okay. So I'll show it to you at the event tomorrow night. So I'm going to read off a few of the events, listeners, because you know Synergy's got quite a few events, and I'm going to be reading off some of the other events that other people are doing as well. So. I don't know if anyone knows, but we lost the lovely David King a few weeks ago. Yeah. And
what a lovely man.
He was a lovely man. So our condolences to all of his friends and family and, you know, all of our friends in BNI. I know I've mentioned that networking group more than I've mentioned my own networking group.
You have.
which we do nearly every week on the show, don't we?
Yep.
That's because it was our life for so many years. Mm. But anyway, Sue Jenkins, his business partner, is doing a CPD course at 12:30 on the 30th, and it's in the restaurant in Knockcuts. And she always has a really interesting speaker that's CPD accredited. And I know you girls do CPD, don't you? So it's really worthwhile going. And it's always something interesting. I mean, last time I went, they were talking about damp proofing. You know, I'm not in the construction, but I do find a lot of what they talk about really, really interesting. And that's what they were talking about last time. So Sue did tell me, but I'm sorry, Sue, I can't remember who is speaking this time. But then from there, I'm going to be going to Dartford, and Dartford is 6:30 in the evening. Both the girls, Christine and Nikki, are members at the Dartford group, and we meet in the beautiful Rowhill Grange. So Rowhill Grange is a patron of Synergy, and the buffet they put on is absolutely amazing. They've got an amazing spa, and the conferencing facilities they've got are second to none. I mean, they're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, they're super.
So so that's going to be really great. You know, and then it's August, and wow, I mean, if you saw my August calendar, you'd say she's a nutter again. So, you know, August, we sort of launch with Medway on Tuesday evening. That's the Medway group. Sidcup is the Wednesday group. Kingshill is the Thursday group at 10:30 in the morning, and we have the trades group at 7 a.m. on Friday morning. So a really busy week. And on Wednesday morning, we've got Metro Bank in Ashford. So Chris and Laura will be running that. I'm on the radio show on the 5th and on the 12th. So you've got lots of me, and we've got some really interesting guests coming on there. But I also want to run through September, because we've got a big summit in September with another one of our patrons, the Arida Hotel. Again, the Arida Hotel I've been dealing with for many, many years. When Paula Ward was there, actually, and it was a Hilton Hotel, I was dealing with it all those years ago, running events from there. And our big event will be in their massive Invicta suite, which is a perfect conferencing room, and we're there on the 30th of September at 10:30 in the morning. We do have two positions for sponsors, and we do charge for those sponsors, and the sponsors get the opportunity to talk to the room for 20 minutes, and they can have all of their promotional materials out as well. So fantastic opportunities there. And then the Arida are also doing two other events in September. They're giving people an opportunity to bring customers and or team members along to an event at the Maidstone Seven Oaks Hotel, which is the Holiday Inn, and that's on the 10th of September at 4 p.m. You can get Christmas tasters and you get a welcome drink when you arrive. So that's great for you girls from Dartford and that area. And Tunbridge Wells is fantastic and easy to get to. And then they're doing one on the 25th of September at the Arena in Maidstone. Again, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's going to be an absolutely fab event. So, you know, please do come along to those. So three massive events, really brilliant networking opportunities. Obviously, the Tory Reader Christmas event's going to be laid back. I might even put a sparkly dress on. Are you coming to one of those, Jill?
I'd love to come to one of those. And if you are coming along, please try and get there early. Yeah. You know, don't miss your opportunity to meet people and have a chat, because that's where the best networking gets done.
It does, yeah, first thing. So, you know, there's lots of other networking groups out there. I mean, you know, we're not shy about saying about other networking groups. And someone was telling me yesterday about a little group that meets once a quarter in Sittingbourne. I've noticed here that I'm going to a Dartford Living event in September as well. So quite a few of my own events, but also we're also starting to run PT sessions, actually. That launches in August as well, on the 11th, midday. We're doing a group PT session. So that will be interesting, you know, huffing and punting and being bright red and trying to network. But you'd be able to see a bit about people's characters, I should imagine, doing that sort of networking. And there's lots of different types. People are doing paddle networking now. Steve Baker.
Yeah, there's so much out there for anybody that wants to try anything. I was lucky enough to go to the amazing venue in Canterbury, Rivals, which is an interactive gaming place. But they do networking there, so you can go and do darts and jumping bowling and the cube, but it's not like anything, it's not ordinary darts. And you know, that there's so much out there, as you say, that you can, don't overdo your networking, be strategic about your networking, don't burn out, yeah, and be consistent. If you're a member of a group, be consistent.
Well, I mean, one of the things I've said to some of the startup businesses is, you know, there's so many free ones. Dartford Living is a free one. Metro Bank. Mm-hmm. Metro Bank is now in Orpington. They launch in Orpington, I think, next month. They're in Orpington. They're in Tunbridge Wells. They're in Maidstone. We do Ashford and Canterbury. I noticed one starting up in Crawley as well, all free. But if you're going to go to Metro Bank Maidstone, go every month. You know, don't go there 1 month, Canterbury another month, Ashford, and you know, go consistently. That's the key. If you're going to go to Dartford Living, go consistently, she says. I've only been once. And, you know, but that's the same as all of these events. You don't, you know, I mean, I'm a membership, you know, networking group, and I think we're amazing. We are the only one out there like us, of course. But there's lots of free ones. So, you know, you don't need to spend big money. You can go to lots of free ones. Maidstoneborough Council do a free one, don't
they? Yeah, I was going to say, you know, look at your local councils and see what's going on there. Look at your local town and see what's going there. This is, you know, you only got to Google it, and people are missing out. But the other thing is, don't forget to go to the exhibitions and the conferences where your ideal clients are. So many people miss out on that.
Well, girls, you haven't experienced nine yet, have you? So
I have, Christine. Yeah, we have, in a way, from before, and knowing the setup, and we've been to a few different events.
Well, this
what's
is
the one in Maidstone that we went to?
Oh, you came to the big one, did you?
Yeah.
Did I go to that one?
Yeah, you did. And then there was the other one that we done, and then we had half an hour of networking. Nikki wasn't there at Gravesend.
Okay.
And then I came as a guest to the Synergy one at Roe Hill once, so
that's right. So the way that we do it is, the structure is that everyone gets 3 minutes into the questions on the table, and I think one of our questions is, how do you relax?
Yeah, but that was one on Tuesday at Riverside Whitstable. I was at the Synergy event there, and we was talking about that was one of the questions on the table. So you can either talk for 3 minutes about your business, or talk for a minute about your business and answer some of the questions. But the questions really help you get to know somebody. And if you know somebody very, very well, because you might have known them for many years, you might know about their business, the questions actually open up a whole new thing about what other people do. And there you get other connections and other referral opportunities from that. So I think the questions are amazing.
I like the 3 minutes as well.
Yeah, it gives everyone an opportunity to really, you know, break down their business into different, you know, sections. I mean, Jill's always said to me, you know, break it down into tiny chunks of information so that people can understand it. You know, because we've got so many facets to all of our businesses. And how do you break that down?
You've got to be memorable, haven't you? But you want to be memorable in the right way, and give those people that are there something current that if they can go away and... What you want is you want them to go away and say to the next person they meet or people at home, oh my goodness, I was listening to this person today and did you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah? So that's sort of memorable because that is when you start to get referrals. And referrals are really important. We should all be listening out for each other because if we're all listening out for each other, that's a very easy way to grow your business.
Well, I said to you before the show, we had a listener who was listening to the two guests last week. And he said to me, I'm really interested in speaking. So he listened on the listen again. I'm really interested in speaking to the accountant. I love what she said about, you know, speaking to me monthly about the business. I love the idea of that, and I also like the other guests at the moment. They use factoring, and seriously looking at going over to Adrian, which is amazing, isn't it? So you know, you never know who's listening. That's the thing.
Well, I think as well that, you know, I was saying to you earlier, it is about that education piece, because you know, when we talk about factoring, there's a lot of people that are in business that don't understand what factoring is, never heard of it. So it's important to get people on to explain their businesses, because when we're in business, we're the experts in our field. It's our job to educate.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the education that then helps others to be your sales team, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what's important. So what different networking events have you been to, girls?
I'd start for living.
Yeah, every time.
Ladies Who Latte.
Oh, yes.
Explate World and Heart.
Sisterhood.
Your One.
Amy.
Yeah, the one in Gravesend was the FSB boot, like...
The boot camp.
Day, and then I came and done the Synergy after, the networking after.
That's right.
Yeah, Synergy. I came once.
The Sisterhood, Amy got me to go and do a talk, and I know Jill's had the Sisterhood franchise owner on her show.
Yeah, we had Sarah Ridge on the show, and it's my complete pleasure to be a headline sponsor for their event on the 5th of November up in London, the Conservatory just at Liverpool Street, and we've got the amazing Nikki Hambleton-Jones coming along. So for those of you who remember 10 Years Younger, Nikki's just launched her book, Bolder Not Older, and she's back with a force, and what a guest she's going to be. So that's a fantastic interactive day for ladies only, but I know that it's a full day. I went there last year and I come out absolutely buzzing with ideas, with new connections, but with a real understanding of having a day with like-minded business owners who, and we learnt so much. We learnt so much. So it was great fun. So, you can find out about that on the Sisterhood website.
Fantastic. Well, there's a few events for you listeners, and you know, we love networking, and that's really, you know, this show is about getting the Synergy members onto the show so you can learn more about them, but it's also letting you know about the different events that are coming up. And as I say, if you've got any questions about any networking group, I'm sure between us we've all been to most of them, I would say. So I'm talking to Christine and Nikki of Blossoming Connections, and also Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy. And I'm your host today. My name is Linda Cloak of Synergy Networking Events. So I'd like to ask you girls, how would you say investing in mental wellness of employees is pivotal for a successful business and a positive team culture? Shall I give you another one?
No, that's fine. Oh, there's so much to that question, isn't there? Hold on, let me process it. Like Christina mentioned earlier on, and we was talking before we was on air, that one, home life affects work. Work affects...
Home life.
Thank you. And I think that if leaders are not aware of what potentially is going on. We talked about that leaders think that people bring their baggage into work, but actually They do. Everyone does. Mm. We're human. Mm. We're human, and we bring everything into it. If you're going through a tough time with your kids, for instance, you are going to bring that into the work environment because we're human. So then it's understanding how leaders, how companies, organisations can support their employees, whether that's the leader or the employee, and how to support them through something challenging. And like we've said before, if they're not focused on work, productivity will go down. It costs so much money to train and replace people. Absolutely. When they leave, that if we don't get this right as an organisation, then we're going to be losing so much money time and time again, aren't we? And it's knowing how to support them in a way to support them, and to be able to keep the best staff that we've got, and to give them opportunities to grow into actually not better themselves, but to grow into something where they can fit into the organisation that is aligned with both. Do you see what I mean?
I mean, what I'm thinking is that, you know, as an employee, then productivity will go down. As a leader, you could impact on so many relationships within the team that you could get half the team leave, and the bosses don't even know that the leader is having issues.
You've got micromanaging as well, haven't you? And that's not healthy for a workplace culture.
And so many cultures now we hear with people we speak to on online that the environment is so toxic and people are leaving, and then leaders are favouring, like, if you like, punishing, again, I'm putting that in quotation marks, punishing the people that are getting on with things, but then rewarding, again in quotation marks, the people that are dramatising everything and making the environment toxic.
It doesn't seem right.
There's a misalignment somewhere, isn't there?
Workplace bullying you often hear of, don't you, and how that impacts.
I work with lots of self-employed business owners, and one of the things that I've been made aware of is a number of business owners will go in on occasions to work within somebody else's workplace. Mm. So perhaps they're going in to do a particular task. So, you know, they could be a bookkeeper, they could be temporary VA, anything like that. So they're going in as an outside person occasionally, maybe once a week, whatever it is. But then they are impacted by the culture that's going on, or maybe are getting bullied, and they find it really, really difficult. It's almost like, Fuzzy Mike, well, hold on a minute, how is this happening to me? What am I doing? But the culture of the organisation is seeing that particular person coming in, or perhaps I'm going to lose my job. So perhaps they brought in a more senior person for a role, and there's that whole thing of I'm going to lose my job, because there's not an opportunity, or they've not been given an opportunity or an understanding of what that is. So you could facilitate conversations and get those feelings before it becomes an abusive thing.
I'm a 70s chick, right? So one of the things I was talking to someone about at the weekend was how when he started working, they basically turned around to every new employee and said, you're going to get a nickname, it's going to be something you don't like, and if you do like it, it won't stick. If you don't like it, it will stick. And that happened to every new employee that came in, and they just went with it. These days, it constitutes bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that we're becoming a softer society?
Interesting.
Does it mean that we're much softer? And the other thing that I've seen, which is quite amusing on TikTok, actually, because I'm a TikTok queen, of course, is you see a man in the 70s bangs into the door. Have you seen it?
No.
He bangs into the door and he just walks past and ignores it. The man in the 80s walks past and looks at it and gives it a little growl. The man in the 90s goes, ouch. And the man in the 2000s falls on the floor and bursts into tears. you know, I wonder if that is our culture as a whole. I'm sorry, listeners, if you're objecting to this, but, you know, it's my daughter sometimes says to me, Mum, you can't say them things. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm just giving you my life experience. Are we a softer society? Is it just the UK or is it worldwide?
I hope it's... I wouldn't use the word softer. I hope we're getting to be a more educated society and being more respectful
of other people's feelings. Yeah. That's actually a better way of putting it.
Yeah, and I think being more respectful and not going along, because that was the other thing. You know, often you were drawn into that other behaviour, especially in the office environment. That was one of the reasons why I decided that I was never going to be an employee. I've been an employee a couple of times. I don't enjoy the office culture. I don't enjoy that. I know that's not for me. And that's the way it is. But for other people who enjoy it, you there is that culture, and I think it needs to be. Unfortunately, you know, I'm working with a lot of people that are still in that environment where it's not good.
Where I was working when I first met you girls, we can't mention any names, but the owner of that business came down ranting to the point where me and my daughter were practically under the desk. It was really frightening. Mm. And I was like, wow, I didn't even realise this still existed in offices, and how on earth...
I think there's still an awful lot of change that needs to take place. And I think the businesses that are successful and will be more successful are those that set out a clear culture, a vision and a mission that engages their workforce, whether that be employed or self-employed contractors coming in, subcontractors, getting those subcontractors into that culture as well, and knowing that they're there. What is the mission? What is the mission of this? What are our values? What do we hold dear? And having somebody like iTrust there, absolutely, you know, which is a great connection for Blossoming Connections too, because you're working with the same idea, is finding those people who have got the same ethos. And there are certain sectors in our business communities,
and Kathy Heyman,
that will more easily bring this on. And that's the tide we need to go to. I was speaking to Nikki and Christine in the break, and saying it's really about finding those companies that are ready to take on and keep their culture, because those are the companies that are flying, because they keep the best people. Attract the best people. Those people with skills are looking for the best place and the best amount of happiness within their working life. And to have somebody have a business that is offering all of these things is where they will choose to go.
That's really a good way of looking at it. So how do you think the trauma-informed approach improves employee retention, team morale and all of that? Because, you know, obviously that wasn't the approach that was used when I was... No.
And I think that... I think it's having that understanding that actually trauma is not just big events that happen. It could be like micro moments. Every human's different, and how they process things is different. And so we often talk about, as a metaphor, in having an invisible backpack on your... carrying around an invisible backpack. So you're carrying this weight, and that can be filled with stones, pebbles, boulders, and it can get heavier and heavier. But you can work through, like, working with people like ourselves, what we offer, and unpick some of that. And some of the things that might be showing up for you now, people are not aware that it's because of something in the past, whether that's childhood or something. Or you see this pattern with relationships, people going into, like, an abusive relationship, into another abusive relationship. And that could be linked to maybe they was brought up in an abusive relationship. So it's kind of helping people break that cycle. But yeah, using that energy of that invisible backpack and the weight that we carry around with us, I think that people need to be aware of that as individuals, but also in the workplace, and being aware of what employees are bringing into the workplace.
I was working with a hypnotist, and the way she described it was we all have a bucket, and the bucket sometimes gets to the stage. So mine was literally overflowing, and she's like, right, we need to start emptying that bucket, because you need to get it down to like halfway, because we all have a halfway bucket.
Yeah.
But what you've got to do is you've got to try and get rid of some of the stuff, and you do that through listening to meditation, breathing exercises, all of those sorts of things, and just actually recognising it and then letting it go.
Yeah.
Which is really sometimes really difficult to do.
And you think about holding that bucket. If you saw it, like as Christine said, with a backpack as a metaphor, if you've got a bucket that's totally filled all the time, if you was holding, physically holding that, and you're carrying around that all the time, how much is that going to be weighing down on you? So then emptying the bucket, obviously it's going to feel lighter, isn't it, as a metaphor? And also leaders being trauma informed, knowing that, as Christine said, traumas don't have to be big things. They're just things that build up, filling the bucket up, filling the backpack up, build up over time. And if leaders are not aware of how to handle their staff, and they're not informed and staff are not informed, then we're going to carry on this culture where we don't feel safe enough in the work environment to be able to offload and talk about these things. And actually a leader or a manager noticing that actually that person isn't quite right today, let's bring them in for a chat, or there's someone in the office that they can talk to, or they're bringing in us, people like us, because they know that something's going on for a group of people or an individual or something like that. Maybe it's a leader. If you're a leader, how can you support people at the top level if you are going through your own stuff and you're not aware? So if you're the person at the top that is more micromanaging and dictatorial and telling and expects so much out of your employees, how can that be trauma-informed?
I think one of the things that, when you was talking about that and you're talking about leaders, I think one of the interesting things that I've noticed is, now I can talk about Linda and I because we know each other very well, we will take on far too much. And we've most probably got a backpack and a bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right? We have, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And but we know each other very well. But I've met people at networking and in working environments who and who decide not to become self-employed because they don't want to, that's not going to be for them. So they do tend to be the ones that don't want to really take on too much. So a smaller thing happening to them, which we might just put as a bit of sand in our bucket, may be a boulder for them.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I give enough thought to that, but I do notice people when they've changed their behavior. You know, on Tuesday I walked in and saw Linda, said hello, sat down, got some strawberries and a croissant, right? And I put my first bite in the strawberry. And Linda said to me, "What's the matter with you?" And she went, "You never eat quickly. You never come up and get food. What is the matter with you?" Right? Yeah. She'd noticed a change in my behaviour because I don't usually eat food.
No,
and I was like, "Oh my God, what's the matter with me?" And she literally did. So, but then we are quite observant. I think because we're in networking and we've been so long in networking, we do recognise changes in people, and we're mums and we do that. But I get that. And as a leader, you're most probably expecting people to behave like you are and taking on. But I know through people culture as well, there'll be people there that will say things like, "I don't get paid enough to do that."
Yeah.
Yeah, so that whole culture thing changes. I haven't got that. If I go over and beyond, I will do. Oh, I'm a people pleaser. I will go over and beyond. So finding somebody that's like that, perhaps sometimes they will have a smaller thing, as you say.
But if people are happy at work, Jill, then they're more likely to do
give
things
more.
They are, if they're happy, then they're more likely to give more.
And if they feel appreciated, seen, validated, heard with generally everything, personal life and work life, with ideas and everything, you're going to get so much more out of that person, aren't you, than shutting them down if they've had a bad day or they want to talk about something, or if they've got an idea to share that could actually make the company potentially a lot more money. Or
and I think that, you know, coming back to HR, because as you say, traditionally, now I've had to think about it, traditionally if somebody has something wrong, so a gripe or whatever, or something's happened in their life. They go to the HR person to perhaps ask for time off or whatever. The HR person is qualified and can help them with how to navigate the legalities of what's going on and then report back to the management. But what you're offering is something completely different. This is how do we help these people stay in work, you know, deal with all of that and, you know, be an extra thing for the HR people to reach out to as and when they need. So I think, again, it's that education piece, isn't it? Yeah. Finding out, you know, not just on a one-to-one basis, but how you can go in, you know, and it's very different to what you go in and do with schools.
Okay, so we've got 10 minutes before the show ends, so I just want to ask Christine and Nikki, how do people get hold of you if they want to, you know, use any of your services? And you've got workshops and support, you know, and so many different services that you can help with.
Yeah, so we're on LinkedIn, we're on Instagram and Facebook, and we tap into TikTok, but we're not that
as Blossoming Connections.
We've got our email, we've got a website as well.
And your email is
it's info@blossomingconnections.co.uk. Okay. But yeah, we've got our website, which is www.blossomingconnections.co.uk. We've got free resources on our on our bios and our pages on our social media. So there's landing pages where they can access free resources. And then some of the other standalone little workshops we might run, like trauma-informed parenting workshops on there and mental wellbeing clubs on there.
Yeah, we do parenting workshops as well.
There's so much.
Online. Yeah, we got next one's in September, isn't it?
Yeah, 18th of September.
Well, you'll be meeting Hayley tonight, a copywriter at Dartford.
And tomorrow.
Yeah, and she's doing the LinkedIn newsletter for us, which is a member benefit.
Yeah.
So it'd be worth speaking to her about going onto that LinkedIn newsletter and then connecting to your page from there. Mm. And Jill, how would people get hold of you, lovely, if they want?
Well, if they're brave enough, I'd love them to connect with me on LinkedIn. So I'm Jill with a G, and I'm Russell with one L on the end. I'd love for them to link with me on LinkedIn. And, if anybody needs any help with their business growth strategies or working with communities or memberships, I'd love to chat with them.
Brilliant. Okay. And I'd just like to speak about some of the referrals, because someone said to me the other day that we're not actually mentioning the referrals that pass through Synergy, because there's been some quite big ones.
Yes, there has.
I mean, the one that we passed to a web developer in Margate was for £10,000.
Wow.
Sign Maker has got a contract for £2,000 and is going to be getting another one soon. We've been going for just under 2 years, and I haven't even measured how many referrals, but I know there's been a few of 10,000, 20,000, some real big contracts going on. So I know Grace said about quite a few that she's had as our flooring person. And you can see the referrals being passed in the room at the trades event. It's been...
And that's, you know, it's amazing. And it is that... getting that process of introducing other people to other people, isn't it? It's like you might not be able to use their services, but you might have that connection that they need. And I think having that 3 minutes to hear and find out who people are looking for, that's where we can all use our networks. As you know, the saying goes, your network is your net worth.
Yeah, and the other thing I think people need to recognise is that when you network, it is through the room, not to the room.
Yeah.
I always liken it to my dating. I remember taking a really good friend who was gorgeous looking, I've got to say. Definitely a match for those men downstairs. And I took him, and he looked in the room and he said, there's no one in there I fancy. And I went, just get in there. And he went in and he dated someone for 3 years. Now, that's the same as networking. You can't go in there and say, I know everything about all these people in the room, because you never do. You never do you?
So true.
You never know who knows who.
No, and that's it. You don't know people's story. So I think what I love about Synergy as well, one of the things that you always say is give that person the time to speak and listen. And you said something that really hit home on Tuesday. You said, when you're sitting in a small group and you're listening to somebody, When you're in a big group, there are people with their phones under the table looking at the messages and doing that because they're not listening. At a synergy event, you listen.
That's right. Listen and understand. That's definitely what it's all about. So, look, I hope you've all enjoyed today's show. So, my name is Linda Cloak from Synergy Networking Events, and you can find us on synergynetworkingevents.co.uk. There's lots and lots of member benefits, and Synergy is really about promoting your business in as many ways as we can. The radio show is one of the ways that we do that. It gives you the opportunity. We give you speaker opportunities, and hope you've got a new one coming up in Bromley very soon, which you girls might like to speak at. A big legal company. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but we're looking forward to that. Obviously, there's speaker opportunities at Metro Bank, also at the trades event, there's speaker opportunities, and they are all free opportunities for people to speak if they want to. You've spoken at Metro Bank, haven't
you?
Yeah,
I did Metro Bank Ashford. Lovely, lovely venue. Yeah, it was really, really good to do. And I got 2 referral opportunities from that. And sorry, Linda, I forgot to tell you that.
Lots of people forget to tell me. It's like people used to get married through the dating agency and forgot to tell me. And then they had a baby. And I'd see them and they'd say, oh, God, we've got 2 children. I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, you met one that I introduced to Synergy.
I know.
And let's give a shout out to
Sharon.
Sharon. Yeah. And I said, oh, you need to go to Synergy. And she said, oh, she went, Jill, I think I know Linda. And she introduced me to her husband. So when you met her, Sharon Harvey of SLH Bookkeeping.
SLF.
No, she's SLH now. She changed it.
Right.
She's got 2 children. And that's thanks to the introduction of Linda.
Yeah, and she introduced me to her 13-year-old. And she said to her 13-year-old, you wouldn't be born if it wasn't for this woman.
Linda, I need you in my life. You need to help me.
There's loads of men downstairs.
Oh, it's really, really good. Lovely speaking to you girls. I hope you enjoyed the show today. And
thanks
again to Jill for helping me.
It's been amazing.
So we're looking forward to speaking to everyone next week. And have a fantastic week in business, everyone. Bye now.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer websites, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Looking for the perfect stay in Maidstone? Discover comfort, style and convenience at Arida Hotels Maidstone. Whether you're visiting for business or a weekend escape, enjoy spacious rooms, a fully equipped gym, relaxing spa facilities and delicious dining, all under one roof. With easy access to local Kentish attractions and excellent service from check-in to check-out, your stay is in great hands. Book today at Arida Hotels Maidstone, where every visit feels just right.
Channel Radio, great music and talk.
Thank you for listening to the Business Network Show, featuring Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy and Linda Cloak, founder of Synergy Networking Events.